old. I have to go back. What does justice, what does social justice look like?
Thank you, Kim. I think that reading, I'm going to get framed. I just love that reading. And I think Amy and I were looking at some of the same materials or something in our lives. Amy and I are pretty much direct peers as I wrote the sermon and she wrote her words. Because this morning I want to start years ago when our three kids were young. I was really determined we were going to be a church-going family. I was absolutely crystal clear on this mission. I was a little fuzzy why about why, but boy was I deeply dug in. Bill was lukewarm and gently opposed to participating in religion. So in our conversations, which I probably could better characterize as debates, I don't recall that either of us focused one way or other on the existence of God, or on whether we'd accept Jesus, or concepts of the Trinity, or the Creed. Just weren't part of our conversation. And if we joined somewhere, we were pretty much looking at what I now would call probably liberal Christian churches. We knew the Bible would need to be looked at through reason and experience, not as literal truth. They weren't our conversations. We had both grown up in pretty mainline Protestant churches. So I think if you had asked me why was I so intent on religion being a regular part of our family's life, I'd likely have said, and I can't remember this exactly, something like, in a materialistic world, I want our children to know there is more to life. Sort of my reason for church. And I think my husband, on these other long debates, would have said something like, I don't think we need to join a church to raise ethical, moral kids. We know right from wrong. I think of the next layer, maybe one I was almost even at the time embarrassed to admit, was I loved the quiet of communion and the connection through ritual. I did then, and I still do now, have some sense that there's something beyond myself, something, maybe it's a sense of God or energy we name in many ways. And if you got me alone, maybe at a deeper level, what I know I didn't say at the time was my life was going really well, but I was fearful. I wanted to be prepared, and I wanted my kids to be prepared for life's hard stuff. For the challenges. I didn't want to be alone, and I knew sickness and death and bad breaks were inevitable. But what I want you to hear, that's my sort of mini spiritual biography, is that I did not come to a UU congregation to do justice work or to fix society. I just didn't. And I began to, in time, absorb the practices of my new faith, chalice lightings and joys and sorrows. As I recall sermons, they were about acting with honesty and humility and forgiveness, and about just sort of being good. I would use that reflection time, and there was always some point of quiet during a service. We could call it prayer. I don't remember what the Unitarian Universalists I was with were calling it, but what I would be giving myself as a pep talk. Help me be a more patient person. Help me be a more patient person. Help me be an accepting person. Help me be good. I'm trying. It was my time for that pep talk. And it's what I needed religious community to be then. We were a church-going family. I want everybody to record that I won that battle. It was a place that together, and my kids were 5, 3, and 1 when we started attending church together to be our best selves. I came for comfort and renewal. And my husband, I remember, asked me why it was only at church that he often cried. So I taught Sunday school, and the lessons were about learning to say I'm sorry and I'm thankful. We taught about caring relationships and differences and our sense of God. And I recall helping kids make cards for members of our church that lived in nursing homes. I recall taking kids to the Arlington Food Assistance Center to package groceries, both kids in my Sunday school class and my own kids. This is just what Unitarian Universalists did. I gave myself a treat one year. We had a little bit more free time somehow, and I joined what was called a covenant group. It was a small group where you discussed deeper topics, and I found that each covenant group was expected to do a social service project together each year. We could weed a garden at church, or make a meal for homeless, or tutor kids, or figure something out. This is just what Unitarian Universalists did. In 2000, by now we've been going to church 6 or 7 years, my Mother's Day request was for my whole family to go to the Million March for Mother's Day against gun violence, for gun control at the time. And at the church that morning, we were already planning to go. I learned where all of the Unitarian Universalists in the DC area would be gathering at the mall. It hadn't still occurred to me that the Unitarian Universalists would be gathering for a rally. But I was learning this is just what Unitarian Universalists do. Then I remember September 12th, 2001, 7 years. I was a leader in the religious ed area, and I remember joining my congregation and sitting in familiar pews as my minister lit a chalice and with words and presence tried to create space for us. A plane had crashed just 3 miles from my church. There were many visitors that day. I think we can almost all remember not only where we were September 11th, but where we were on the 12th. Messages on society's challenges were sinking in. Faith was something about doing stuff. Shortly after 9/11, as the inevitability of an Iraq invasion was a reality, many in my congregation were voicing clear opposition. There was conversations when people checked in at meetings, and I had mixed feelings. I wasn't sure whether I was or wasn't opposed to the invasion. But I did also hear about a need to defend our local mosque. We were needed to stand up for fairness and protect folks that just were trying to worship. I had no mixed feelings on this. We needed to show up. I was learning, this is just what Unitarian Universalists do. And now I was starting to see, why is it we are known as a social justice faith? I think it's part of our collective identity, and for some, it is a pattern of life action, but it's not why we all show up necessarily. But why? I think we need to step back. What is justice? The crux of justice is fairness. A just society is a fair society, but fair how? I think as Unitarian Universalists, we're not inclined to stick with the easy answer. We're asked to dig a little deeper. And philosophers have long debated what it is that has to happen to achieve justice. Even if you could know what it is, what is it going to take to achieve justice? And if you really boil it down, I am not a philosophy major by any means, you basically have three basic paths, and they pull in tension with one another. Some see that this fairness is mostly tied to protecting individual rights, freedom of individuals, freedom of markets, freedom of practices that lead to fairness. And so if you're pulled one way and you can't decide, you need to protect freedom. You hear this in conservative thought, but true freedom is emphasized by virtually everyone I know. Justice has to have an element of freedom. Other philosophers, I'll call them sort of the pragmatists, see that justice is best achieved when you're focused on doing the most good for the most people, and we talked about this in our ethics workshops. This is an admission that it can't be perfect for everyone, but you try to do the best you can. It's a collective look, it's an optimization of sorts, and it realizes you need to check on some of this freedom. this other perspective does leave some people behind. There's another perspective, and that's one that focuses on equality and how are you going to distribute society's resources as fairly as possible. So you've sort of got this freedom, the pragmatists, the collective equality look, and these things are always pulling against one another. And when we talk about justice as a Unitarian Universalist, we know it's something that's always been a part of religion. It's in the Bible, you hear justice rolling down like waters. It's something we strive for. And it is about communities doing the right thing, and there's no perfect answer as to what that is, but we want to live in communities where people don't steal, where people don't murder, or take advantage of one another, the poor or the weak. The crux of justice includes being humane in our judging of others, punishment without torture. So maybe I was starting to see a link, because I had signed up to be a churchgoer, to be reminded about doing the right thing. But I think a question that happens at different points in our lives is we ask, whose job is it in an imperfect world to press for change, to make things more just, more fair? Because some of the work of justice needs to go into laws and tax laws, and in a society of limited resources, who gets to decide that balance of freedom and distribution of goods? I was starting to ask, is voting enough? And did I want my faith community encouraging me to act, facilitating my engagement? What was going to get me to focus on justice? If I jump ahead a little bit, when I was first starting to preach on justice, I was still struggling with these terms, and I read John Rawls' book, The Theory of Justice. Someplace buried in there, he asks one core question. I may have even shared this one before here. He asks, what would you want the laws and the systems and the institutions to look like if a lottery determined where you would start out? Can you picture fairness detached from prior wealth, detached from race, nationality, generation? For me, that's been an anchoring question. Maybe that was what my faith was calling me toward. And then another question, if not me, who? Because I think for justice, I was also starting to learn the theological grounding. Why was it Unitarian Universalists had ended up so socially justice focused? Because it was not there when they were back arguing about Trinity and Unitarian and all the different pieces. One stream of influence comes from our Universalist forebears. Think maybe back early 19th century. They knew they believed in a God who loved all, a God who was going to save all. There wasn't this big risk of hell, and all was to mean everyone. It meant all were to be included, and then they made that next leap without having to worry about hell and damnation. They sensed it was their duty to be God's hands and feet on earth, helping all those other inherently worthy folks. Humans needed to make things fair, and that led to the work on abolition, social services for immigrants, and more humane prisons. In this transition, there were two big things that were happening. One, faith was leading to social justice, and justice, as it was described, was going to put a heavy weight onto the equality piece. Albeit it was selective at times, it wasn't perfect equality. And so my no longer new faith had me reflecting on this role. I attended the anti-racism, anti-oppression training at church. It was right there. I went to Richmond to advocate for dental care for the poor, riding on a bus that left from my church parking lot. In 2012, I attended the UU Social Justice General Assembly in Arizona, wearing a bright yellow shirt. This is just what Unitarian Universalists did. And so now, I find myself preaching on justice and other topics on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And I state over and over, sometimes I think too often, that our faith compels us to challenge the comfort of the status quo. It's not necessarily what I think each individual that I'm looking out here needs to do, but it is my go-to message. I write letters, I stand up in public forums, and this is the energy that I and a lot of other UU ministers bring to the congregations. But it's not the only path. Last fall, Linda Dutton led a service here, looking at the many ways our Unitarian Universalist faith takes us down a justice path. And in her message, she considered it's not only about the doing and the fixing of society, but we're all challenged to consider what is the spiritual dimension of our actions. If we choose to be out and about supporting fairness, we are changed personally. We grow. And for Linda, she shared that social work is not separate from comfort and renewal, but it provides her with spiritual sustenance. So are we a social justice faith? Here I think we've probably been defining that a little too narrowly. It's maybe the wrong question, because I think justice in part is tied to the laws and the system and improving these matters. But the justice that I think Amy and I and Kim have brought forward today is something much broader. Justice is about fairness, and it happens when we are kind and when we help distribute care in the smallest of neighborly tasks, the shoveling of a neighbor's walk. Justice happens when we are active participants in other groups that have a mission of fairness, from scouts to schools to the arts to the military to being active in our religious homes. It is about making things better and opening hearts and minds to fresh perspectives. So activism is a slice of this, but it's only a slice. In my home congregation in Arlington, they have five paths they name toward social justice, or as they sometimes call it, social action. First is service, or the work that helps those that are hurting presently. The next is education. It's where we learn more about what's causing the societal pain and look at solutions. Next is witness. Providing opportunities for people to show up and speak is an expression of faith. Then we get to the advocacy piece of showing up with elected officials and the media on policies. And finally is community. Bringing together people to rejoice and collaborate and build relationships across difference. So I do think we've come here. We've come here and it is Stewardship Sunday. It is a time where we want to look at what we do together. We come to be renewed and inspired to be our best selves. But we all come here at a different point in our life and a different point of our cycle. Yeah, aren't we all in some ways social justice champions? Before answering that, I want you to rehear those five paths. Service. What might it mean to send a card or give a ride or make a financial donation? Education. Do you come ready to have your assumptions challenged, your worldview stretched through sermons and through our shared reading? Witness. What happens in life if you don't look away? When we let heart and mind take in the experiences of another, child with a disability, those struggling for health services, those fleeing fear. And I think advocacy. It can happen in Annapolis or DC or Greensboro or right here in Chestertown. But it also happens when we challenge an assumption. We challenge racism one-on-one We ask questions about what's perpetuating stereotypes. And finally, community. We come together each week to build that kind of community. So I do see, as you use, we come to give and we come to receive. We come in hope. We come to be loosened up and to increase our understanding of justice and fairness. That's a big part, because I think what we do together is develop a fresh lens. We're asked to consider the experiences of another, and we're asked, importantly, to cultivate a sense of generosity. We're asked to trust in a spirit of abundance rather than have a mindset of scarcity. We learn that justice is not achieved when we hold back. Recently, I was at an event, and the benediction shared said, "I believe that we are all deeply connected in ways more profound than we can possibly grasp, and that we are called to act as if that matters." So I take us back to our earlier reading, abbreviated version. Begin with gratitude. Let your gratitude grow into trust. Trust to compassion. Compassion to solidarity. Let your solidarity bear fruit in justice. And when you are most challenged by the forces of injustice, return to gratitude and entrust yourself to the undying power of love. So on this Stewardship Sunday, we are asked to trust that we will walk toward a more just world together, each finding our place in the greater whole of this bold, brave, and nurturing religious community.